Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. And we're going to begin a new series, and we're going to be talking about the fact that our God, Yahweh, has a desire for us to prosper. He has a desire for us to be in good health. So we're going to dive into what it means for us to prosper and for us to be in good health. So let's look at 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. He says, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. So he has this desire for us to prosper and for us to be in good health. What does it mean for us to prosper? What he's saying here is, in all respects, I pray that you succeed. That's ultimately what he wants. He wants us to succeed in life. What is the things that he wants us to succeed in? Well, number one, I put, he wants us to succeed in having life. Our ultimate goal is for us to have eternal life, for us to spend eternity with him in his new kingdom, right? Living and dwelling with him. So his goal is for us to succeed in that regard, as in having eternal life. But he also desires for us to have life here on earth and to have life abundantly here on earth. So that is to be healthy. And we're going to dive into what his desire is when it comes into us being healthy and what that means. To succeed in having blessings and walking in his blessing. And walking in his blessing is really just walking in the fact that we are happy and we feel blessed with where we are. It's not this meaning and this ultimate picture, you could say, concept that we are a millionaire, we have tons of money that's flowing in, and we are prosperous in that regard. Yes, he will meet all of our needs. As David said, I have not seen the righteous begging for bread. But his blessing and walking in abundance is walking in the abundance of his presence, walking in the abundance of the rewards that we get from walking with him. And those rewards are not always necessarily going to manifest itself in terms of us having tons of money, but it is in regards of knowing him and being with him, and the fact that his life is in us and his joy is in us. So we prosper in joy. We have an overflow of joy in our lives. So, and also we are fruitful. So we succeed in the fact that we are producing fruit for his kingdom. We're producing fruits of righteousness. And so that fruit is, yes, in what we do, in fruits of righteousness, of walking in love and joy and peace and discipline and kindness and gentleness and all this. But there's also showing fruit of repentance, of when people see us, they see that we are a new and a changed person, that we are a new man, that when they see us, they see Yeshua. They don't see someone of this world, but they see our master, the one we're serving in Yeshua. Fruitfulness also comes in walking in the gifts of his kingdom, and the fact that when we pray for the sick, they are healed. It comes into the fact that when we stand and we share the message of repentance, that we see fruit that stems from that. So we see fruit in our ministry. We see fruit in serving his kingdom. So these are things that he desires to see us prosper in, for us to have joy, to be blessed, to have life, and to be fruitful for his kingdom's sake. Let's look at Psalms chapter 20 and verse 1. For the choir director, a psalm of David, may Yahweh answer you in the day of distress. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. So he has a desire for us to prosper, for us to succeed. But that does not mean that we will not see a day of distress. It does not mean that we will not walk through the valley and we will face trials and temptations and everything will not be perfectly smooth. But even though we are in the day of distress, even though we face hardships and we face trials and we go through the valley, we still can succeed and prosper in the distress. And the way that happens is by the God we serve, that he sets us on high. See, our blessings don't come from our efforts. Our joy does not come from our efforts. Our life and our fruitfulness does not come from us, but it comes upon the one whom we are serving. He sets us on high. He delivers us from the distress so that we can walk in joy and blessing in life. And even while we're in the distress, we can feel blessing. We can experience blessing and we can experience his joy and still remain fruitful and still have life and have his life. Verse 2, may he send you help from the sanctuary and uphold you from Zion. So he will send his help. From where he is sitting, from where he's at, he will uphold us. He will pull us through the distress when we face those hard times. Now, verse 3, may he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable. And then he says, Selah, think upon this. So think upon the fact that he is going to uphold you in the day of distress. And that he will remember all of your meal offerings. Okay, so what we bring now is the bulls of our lips, the praises of our lips. So the praises of our lips is our burnt offering. It's our meal offerings. And may he remember all of the thanksgivings and the praises that we have spoken from our mouths. And may he find our praise and our thanksgiving to be acceptable. So we want to think about the fact that he is not obligated to find what we bring unto him as acceptable. But we as the ones who are bringing the offering need to come in humility and humbleness with a heart attitude of wanting to bring something that he would take delight in and desire and find acceptable. So we get into verse 4. May he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. So that's why I went through this passage. The psalmist is speaking of the fact that we will face distress. We will go through distress and he will uphold us. And he will secure us and he will bring us through. And he says, may he remember the words that we spoke and may he find them acceptable that he will grant your heart's desires and fulfill all your counsel or that you may prosper in what you're doing. The thing that he has placed upon your heart, the desires that he has placed upon your heart, may he grant you those things. He desires to grant us the desires of our hearts when our hearts are lined up with his. You know, James speaks about how we have not when we pray because we ask amiss. If we come to him and our hearts are not aligned with his, and our hearts are amiss, and they are seeking after that which is not of him, that which is not acceptable, not of his purpose, not of his plan, he's not going to grant us that. But when we're lined up with him, walking as one with him, where our hearts beat as his, meaning that we desire what he desires, we take joy in what he takes joy in, we love what he loves, and we hate what he hates. He hates sin. He hates wickedness. He hates anything that is contrary to his law. So when we line up with his heart and we love righteousness and we love his law and we hate sin, then he will grant us the desires of our hearts. He will fulfill all of our counsel. Okay, so he desires for us to prosper, to have life, have joy and blessing. And he desires for us to be in good health. Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Yeshua Messiah. So Paul is saying here to those in Thessalonia, may the God of peace sanctify you entirely. So his desire is for us, our whole being, our whole body, to be sanctified. Okay, so he is speaking of our spirit, our soul, and our body. So for our spirit, our soul, and our body to be completely sanctified, that is, to be cleansed of all that which is impure, okay? And it also means to be set apart from the world. So his desire is for our spirit to be perfectly cleansed of all that is impure and for it to be set apart from the world. So our spirit no longer belongs to the world, but it belongs to God himself, to Yahweh, and to his son, Yeshua. And for our souls to be sanctified, the soul speaks of our inner being, of our hearts, what we desire. It speaks of our minds, what we think about. So when you think about soul, it's speaking about the heart and the mind, the inner being. So our thought patterns and what we desire, what we love, and what we seek after. He wants that to be cleansed, to be completely, entirely cleansed. For all of our thoughts, for the way we think, what we think upon, to be totally cleansed from this world of all that is impure, for all the impure thoughts, all the impure desires and affections to be gone, and for our thoughts and our desires to now be set apart, to not be like the world, so that we do not think like the world thinks. We do not desire the things the world desires. We do not love the things the world loves. But now we desire and we think upon those things that are pure, that are righteous, and that are holy. And that is his law, and that is his word. We think upon those things. We desire after those things. Okay, so he wants us to be completely whole. So it's not just that we get our spirit man correct by coming and saying a prayer and professing that Yeshua is our Messiah. And then we say, my spirit man is fine. And now we just go on living. That's not his desire. His desire is for us to be completely whole in both the spirit man, which is restored by belief in Yeshua alone. And he wants us to be completely whole in our soul. So he wants us to be whole in the way we think, the way our minds operate. He wants us to be mentally well. And he wants our bodies to be mentally well as well. He wants our bodies to be completely sanctified, to be completely cleansed of all that is impure, and for our bodies themselves to be sanctified from the world, so that we do not treat our bodies as the world treats their bodies. We do not use our bodies as the world uses their bodies. Our bodies are not to be used as an instrument of unrighteousness, but they are to be used as instruments of righteousness. We are not to pollute and contaminate our bodies as the world does, but we are to treat the body as the temple of Yahweh. And we are to esteem it and to sanctify it and to set it apart. So we are to think about the fact that he wants our bodies to be whole when it comes to what we do with our bodies and what we put in our bodies. So he links us as being whole from our first passage. Remember, he says, I want you to prosper as your soul prospers. Okay, so he links us as being whole, prospering, being in good health to our souls prospering. So that seed of our desires, that heart and that mind, plays a role in if we're going to prosper here. And if we're going to walk in good health. If we're going to prosper and be fruitful and have joy and have blessings and walk with him, we need to make sure that our soul is prospering, that our heart and our mind is prospering. So we need to make sure that we are paying attention to what we're doing with what we think upon. Okay. Is our minds prospering? Is our minds been sanctified? Have they been cleansed? Are they set apart? Has our hearts been cleansed? Has it been set apart? Is our affections and our desires righteous and holy? Are they set apart? Now let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 6. You shall keep and do them, speaking of the law, the Torah, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So this is Yahweh speaking through Moses unto Israel, saying, look, ye shall keep my law. Ye shall keep my Torah, for it is wisdom and understanding to you. My law will bring wisdom and it will bring understanding to you. It will make you a great nation. So when we think about how do I prosper in my soul? How do I prosper in what I think upon and what I desire? It is found in that we think and we prosper upon that thing which gives us wisdom and understanding. If we want our minds to prosper, we need to fill it with God's law. His law is righteous. His law brings wisdom. His law brings understanding. But in order to have wisdom, in order to have this understanding, it goes beyond just knowing his law. But we have to do his law. We have to apply his law. That is wisdom. Wisdom is when we know what to do and we do that which is right. So when we learn his law, and then we're obedient unto his law, it makes us wise. And the people around us will see us and say, that person has such wisdom because we're walking in obedience to his law. Now let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is Yahweh our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law, which I am setting before you today? His law sets us apart from the nations and the people of this world. It gives us a wisdom that is above theirs, and it makes us a great nation. People will see us and be attracted unto us. When you walk in his law and you walk in obedience to his law, you become a light. Remember, Yeshua said, "Let your light so shine before men. Let men see your good works that they may praise your heavenly Father." Letting your light shine forth is by allowing them to see your good works. That is what this passage here is in Deuteronomy. When you walk in obedience to his word, you are a light that shines unto the people around you. Verse 9, only keep yourself and keep your soul very carefully, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. So here, Moses is telling them, keep yourselves and your soul very carefully. Keep the things, keep your heart, those affections and the things that you desire after, the things that you think about in your mind, your thought process, okay? Keep those things upon that which has been given to you today, his law. Do not allow his law to depart from your heart. Do not allow his law to depart from your mind. Think about my law. Meditate upon my law. Hide my law within your heart. The psalmist says, I have hidden your law within my heart, that I would not sin against you. So hide his word within your heart, that you will not depart from it, so that your heart and your mind will prosper. Renew your mind according to his law, so that your thoughts will prosper. And as your thoughts prosper, you will be in good health, and you will prosper. In this verse, he says, do not let it depart from your heart all the days of your life. So hold on to it so that you may have life, so you will have it abundantly. So the first step into us being a people who prospers in our minds and in our bodies, to being a person who is completely whole, is to learn to prosper in our souls, is to learn to allow our souls inside of us to be cleansed, to be touched, and to be healed. Those things that have scarred us, that's on the inside of us, that may cause us to think or act a certain way, that is not necessarily righteously, that doesn't lead to us having prosperity and prospering, that doesn't lead us to having joy and having his blessings and his peace in our lives. So we need to recognize those things in our lives, in our minds, and in our hearts that need healing, that need to be touched, that need to be renewed, that need to come in alignment with the way that he thinks and what he desires and what he goes after. So we need to work on the inside. We need to work upon our hearts and upon our minds. And then what's happening on the inside will begin to manifest itself on the outside. And we will be able to prosper in all that we do. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart guard my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. What does his commandments add to us? Peace. It adds life. His commandment is not a curse. His commandment is not burdensome. His commandment brings peace. It brings joy. It brings blessings. It sanctifies us from the world. It allows our hearts and our minds to prosper so that we can prosper in all of our being. And we have added life because we guard his commandments. We have peace because we guard his commandments. John says that may we obey his commandments so that we may experience the fullness of our joy. Now let's look at verse 3 here. Do not let loving kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good insight in the eyes of God and man. So what is the writer of Proverbs telling us? Do not forget my law. Do not forget my truth. Do not forsake it. Bind it around your neck. Write it on the tablet of your heart. Write my commandments. Write my truth. Write loving kindness upon your heart. That is what the new covenant is. Hebrews tells us he has circumcised our hearts. He has removed that old stony heart. And he has given us a heart of flesh. And he has written his law. He hasn't done away with his law, but he has written his law upon our hearts and upon our minds. And we need to not forsake it. We need to remember it. And we need to do the process of continuing to write his law upon our hearts and upon our minds. Because as we do that, our souls will prosper. And as our souls prosper, we will prosper. As he said in verse 10, length of days, long life. He will add days and years unto us because our souls have prospered. And we will have peace. And we will find favor with both God and man. It sounds like he's talking about the fact that we will prosper. So if you hold on to my law, if you don't forget it, if your heart prospers in my ways and my righteousness, then you will prosper. Well, we're going to continue to dive into this in this next series as we begin to talk about what it means to be that completely whole person. But this week, we start off with the fact that in order to be that whole person, first, we start with making sure that we prosper within our souls, within our hearts, and within our minds. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.